Hi there. Welcome to the Flight Risk Studios podcast show. I'm your host, Robert Bruton. It is April 2nd, 2024, and welcome to the show. We appreciate you tuning in each and every day. So I'm trying to get a podcast out just about every day now. So I'm feeling like we're kind of getting back in the groove. For those of you that follow us know, kind of we were off the grid a little bit for loss in my family, and so I feel like we're getting back into the groove. So today I published an article, and this one I put on Medium, and it's called Choosing the Life You Want, Breaking Free from the Pursuit of an Elusive Ideal. So in this fast-paced world that we live in, where we're choosing, you know, to flex on our Lamborghini and all of these things, you know, and I see all these young people thinking that, you know, having all that is wonderful, and if you can afford all that, God bless. You know, most people, if you look out into the world, and I'm not shitting on anybody that owns a Lamborghini, it is an amazingly badass car, no doubt. But it's in a very expensive car to own. And when you look at the used market and you go out there and all the Lamborghinis are for sale that are late models, all are under $3,000, because when they found out how much the first service was on their Lambo, and it's tens of thousands of dollars to get done, you know, it becomes, and with those cars, hang on just a second, I want to look at something. Let's see. I was trying to find well, anywho, we'll just keep going. I was trying to find something that that made a difference. But, you know, it's incredibly expensive to own these cars, and for good reason, because they are absolute technological and marvels. They're just, you know, they just are. So, you know, if you can afford, when you're flexing around your Lambos and Ferraris and all that kind of stuff, my first question would be, did you pay cash for the car? Because if you had to finance it, you can't afford it. And if you bought it, did you look at, over the lifetime of the car that you plan to own it, what you're going to spend in maintenance? And I'm not, again, if you can afford it, go get it, man. It's the coolest shit ever. I'm not shitting on it. It's just not. But what this article brings to light is, before you become in where everybody says, you know, well, no, my leash won't let me get out past the driveway because I got all this cool shit, but I can't afford to go do anything with it. Or they go in and buy a car and then have to put insurance on it and go, oh shit, because the insurance is almost as much as the car payment. For simple fact that the value is so high. So my whole premise here is to say, because at that point you become doing what you have to do, not what you want to do. Now you're tethered to this debt. Now you're tethered to these expensive items. And was it all worth it? And what I'm suggesting to you is to take a look at some things that I think will help make, and things that I wish that I had done earlier in my life, just being totally honest. part of this is it kind of drags me into a damn, I wish I'd done this, you know, 20 years ago. But I would say, let's say that you want to become a social media influencer. And you're a young person, and this is going to, I don't know, for some of you it may sting a bit, you know, to hear, but are you doing, if you're wanting to be a social media influencer, and let's say you're in a glamour space, because that is a very crowded and space of young women. And so my question to you would be, are you doing it because this is something that you are truly in your heart passioned by? Or is it something that you think your friends or you're following an in vogue deal? You're not really being who you truly are. You're just being a persona, which is fine too. But are you pursuing your true happiness? Now, if it's something where you are a persona and that persona does not really necessarily define you, it's who you are online but not who you are in real life, that's a, if you're playing a character, that's a different story, okay? So as if you're playing a character and you're doing something, then you probably are living your real life because you're doing something that you're passionate by, so you're able to adapt and do things. You know, maybe just as easily you could do something glamour. Maybe just as easily you could tour zoos around the country and talk about animals and all those fun things that, you know, but you become that persona. You become that outdoor person, you know, that wildlife lover person. And then I want to drill it down a little bit further that, you know, for me, I decided some years back that I wanted to do what I want to do, not what I have to do. It's harder, but it's more fulfilling. And I'm not chasing some, you know, I thought I wanted to be, you know, this in business. And really what it boiled down to is I was working for a bunch of ungrateful people that worked in industries where, you know, you go from hero to zero at the first of every month, which is, you choose that, so that's your gig. I'm not bitching about it, but you go from hero to zero. You can be in a very unforgiving business that you could have had the best month, done so much for the business, but if you have a shitty month, you could just as easily get snipped and they'll bring in some other person that talks a better game. You know, there's no loyalty, there's no nothing in those instances. So I chose to get out of that completely. I'd rather go wash cars than work for some asshole that, you know, from one step to the next can't even give you a I mean, you're great when you're making them a lot of money, but you're not, you know, you can't even get a hello when you're not. So, it really took me, some time to get past that. And the reason is because, you know, you really have to, that's why I ask the questions is, are you really doing what you want to do? Have you really sat down with yourself and let's say you are buried in a mountain of debt. Stop for a second, move that aside, and say, if money, time, and resources were not the problem, what would I really do? What would break me free from all these elusive ideals that, of stuff that I should do or have to do? You know, where the carrot gets dangled, but it keeps getting moved. So you learn to sell yourself out. I did it for, I can't tell you how many years. And so my point in putting all this out there is, as you know, if you follow my show, if you follow my books and things that we talk about, is, you know, these are things that I change in my own life, and now I'm sharing the resources that I use and why I do these things, in hopes that it helps save you some time, and also in hope that if you're a young person, you know, that you actually give yourself a moment to decide, am I doing, you know, I challenge when I talk to social media influencers, and I do a lot, you know, it's, I always ask them, I always say, now, let me ask you something. And I mean this, you know, I don't wig out on me, you know, because everybody tends to jump to conclusions or think you're shitting on them, and you're not. But what I'm asking is this something, let's say, and I use the glamour space because it's very crowded, it's very competitive. And, you know, so I ask young women, I say, are you doing this because you have a real passion for this industry and showing young women or showing women of all ilks what they could do to be more glamorous or more, you know, hair, makeup, whatever it is, you know? And a lot of them will tell me, no, it's just kind of what my friends thought was cool. It seems like, you know, all these girls are making so much money talking about all this. And I'm sitting there going, but okay, that's well and good. It is. It's, you know, if you're following something that's in vogue, that's fine. But are you really being true to your own self? Are you going to wake up one day and go, you know, I did all this glamour stuff. I'm known, I'm famous for all this glamour stuff. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really mean shit to me. It doesn't really, you know, it's not something that, you know, I would have rather have gone and look at science pursuits, wildlife, outdoors, entrepreneurship. Instead, I came down a path that seemed like one that I would do because it was in vogue. Now, having said that, if you are doing it because it is a pursuit and it is a happiness, or if you're doing it as a character and not really who you are in real life, for example, let's say as soon as you finish shooting your glamour stuff that, you know, you put on your blue jeans and you go out and you start playing with your horse or your cows or whatever, because that's where your true heart and passion is. See, I hope that you can see the correlation between all of those things. But I would challenge you to sit down, and I had to, and say, okay, I've been doing this for the biggest chunk of my career. I hate it. There's nothing about it that's fun. You can't ever make any plans to do anything because you don't know from one week to the next if your bipolar boss is going to be get pissed off and fire everybody and start brand new, or, you know, you just never knew. Made good money, but it you know, hell, you were never able to go spend it because you had to work 6 days a week, 12, 14 hours a day. So are you doing what you have to do, or are you doing what you want to do? And anybody that tells you that's the sacrifice you make to become successful, I would say, you know, hang on. If I'm going to make that level of sacrifice, and I'm going to do those things that you suggest that I do, I'm God dang sure not going to do it for you. Because chances are it's a unforgiving prick that, you know. If that's what you choose, then God bless, man. Go do it. I'm going to say, if you want to think about what you could do, if you're going to make that level of sacrifice, what does that look like for you? Well, I don't have this or that. Well, here's the thing. The asshole that you're working for, or the company that you're working for, that maybe is, you know, they pay you, yes, they pay you, but when you go up the food chain, you know, did that person start with everything? Did they have a silver spoon in their mouth? Chances are they didn't. Chances are they actually made sacrifices and did things to have the business that they have. Worked for a guy that immigrated from Cuba back during the Cuba crisis, and he and his brothers became General Motors dealers. And the guy that I worked for was one of the hardest bosses I ever had. He was incredibly aggressive verbally. But he also would stop and teach me everything. I mean, he could run an operation and know to the paperclip where he was. He studied historically trending colors that he would order during different seasons because those colors sold better during those seasons than others. He was very cautious when you know, fad colors came out, and then, you know, they sold like hotcakes, and then all of a sudden you load up your inventory full of that and that fad goes away. Now you're stuck with all these fad colors that you couldn't. He was very cautious with that. Smart guy, smart cookie, but a tough son of a bitch to work for, no doubt. And we are friends to this day. And I always tell him, you're the toughest son of a bitch I've ever worked for in my life. I say it right to his face. But we love each other and hug each other, and it's a good thing. You know, the pitfalls of chasing an elusive ideal. Okay? Burnout, lack of fulfillment, strained relationships because you're never home, or you're so burned out and so tired, you can't be present even for your own kids, even for your spouse, you know, when all they want is your attention and all you want is to go, you know, lay in bed, get back up and go back to work because you're so dead dog tired. Then you neglect your personal growth by focusing solely on the external markers of success, hence your job, that really doesn't define who you are. You're a cog in a wheel. So if that's a level of, how should I put it? If that's where you want to see yourself, then God bless. If you want to say, well, no, that's not where I want to be. I don't want to be a slave to a job for the rest of my life. You know, and where my time is not my time, because, you know, what's cool about, like, what I do, the pursuit that I have now is, you know, from when I get done with this podcast, I'll start to load it up and get it downloading and all that kind of stuff, because that does take some time depending on the length of the show and the size of the file that I have to put into our podcast. So I get that started. You know, we work on descriptions, titles, and then from there, what I do is typically I go to lunch. And what's cool is, and things that remind me all the time, like I always carry my camera, I always carry our video gear in case, you know, I see something or I want to take a photo, or if I say, you know what, I'm going to drive out in the country and take some photos. Some of my best work has been out taking pictures of cows and windmills and all that stuff. And it's amazing how I put those on a couple of different sites that I have, and they get bought up for all kinds of stuff, magazine articles and all kinds of things. And it's all because I go out because I can. I don't have a person that's calling me and saying, "Where the hell are you?" Because I answer to me, and I remember that. And sometimes I feel where I'm like, "Oh shit, I don't have time for this," and I go, "What the hell am I saying? I do, you know." Some days I may want to sleep in. Some nights I choose to, you know, enjoy my day, take the dogs, do something, and then I'll work in the evening or something. And it's just a choice. It's not something that I end up having to do or wanting to do. I always just try to keep the content we put out fresh and new, and that's the best that I can do. You know, I'm constantly researching new book ideas, new film ideas. I'm going to go down into the coast. I'm going down to Port Aransas either tomorrow or the next day to shoot the Chapel on the Beach. And so I'm excited to go down and take some pictures and post those up. And I'm hoping some of those will become, I can do as frame prints. I'm excited for that. So we'll see. And that's because I'm doing what I want to do, not what I have to do. You know? And one of the things that it's done in spades for me historically is strained relationships. When we prioritize the pursuit of success over nurturing our relationships, we may find ourselves isolated and disconnected from the people who matter most to us. And will hold up my hand and say that very much happened. And this is a biggie, too, is lack of fulfillment. Even if we achieve the goals we set for ourselves, we may find that they don't bring us satisfaction like we expected, leading to a sense of emptiness and dissatisfaction, which is, every day was a sense of emptiness and dissatisfaction because I wasn't doing what I wanted to do. I was doing what I had to do. And yes, you know, we will do what we have to do to support our families, absolutely. But you have to sit down and, you know, I can't imagine sitting down with your family and saying, okay, we all can agree that I'm gone all the time, I'm not present in the moment, and we can all agree that sometimes I can be short-tempered or snappy or not fun to be around. I think we can all agree on that. Yep. And your whole family's like, oh yeah, you know. And I think if you sit down with your significant other and you look them in the eye and say, you know, I can't keep doing this. But here's the problem. We've made ourselves attached to a home mortgage that at the end of the day we should have never gotten into. insurance is going up. Our car payments are retarded. Everything is crazy. Credit card debt is high. So how do we get out of that? How do I not quit my job? And I'm not saying you don't, when you start to consider what you could do, quitting your job's the last thing you need to worry about. Stay in your job, keep your income coming in. But take a different priority and a different look at what brings you joy and fulfillment. What are your passions and interests? And can we turn those into income? You know, even for me, sometimes, you know, something comes along where it's a side hustle that I wasn't, you know, that I can go in, do something and get out, but it's a nice little, you know, I did a photo shoot for a family on Easter Sunday, because and all I really was going to charge, I said, buy me a couple of beers and let me eat the barbecue, and while we're walking around and having fun, I'll shoot some photos. No big deal. But they ended up paying me something to do it. So I picked up some lunch money. It wasn't a big thing, but these are all things that happen as a direct result of I'm living the way I want to. I get people who ask me, "Hey man, could you come do this for me?" Or I hear people, I might be sitting having a beer at my local tavern that I enjoy, and sitting and having a beer and overhear someone talking about, we're doing this and we're doing that, and say, "Hey, look, we're within earshot of each other. I'm not really, I'm just here enjoying my beer, but this is my card. This is what I do. If you guys want to talk," and I picked up, I can't tell you how many fun little jobs that that all add up. Or if you hear somebody out, or your friends and family all of a sudden go, "Hey, old Bob down there, he does, videography," or he, "Hell, I have an underwater drone. You can't." I mean, it's kind of cool because people are starting to reach out to me and ask me if I'll come, just do an inspection of the underbelly of their boat, because I live on the Texas coast. So a lot of these guys want to make sure that, or go down and take some pictures of their prop or whatever it is, and it's, $100 here, $500 there. Just depends on how long I'm going to be there and how much, they're looking for. But if it's just, something easy, and I get to play with, and I get to play with my submarine, as it were, which is kind of cool. And then I can, and from that, I can ask, I can say, "Hey, the next time you guys go out, can I tag along and film it?" Well, how much would it cost me to hire a boat to go out and film, guys fishing when I did them a favor? I've had a couple of guys said, "Hey, if I come down and do this, can I go out with you on your next outing?" Yeah, dude, come on. And so when you equate out what it would cost you to do this, it's just like if you can always trade and barter things, and know that when you get through it, at some point in time, it's going to turn into something really great for you. And I took a lot of B-roll footage, and it sold like crazy. So it was really cool, because how many people can get fishing boat footage, especially commercial fishing boat footage, shrimping or oysters, which is big down here, and post that up on B-roll sites, and people are, eating it up because they don't have access to it. So moving on, letting go of social expectations. So one of the biggest obstacles to choosing a life that you want is the pressure to conform to social expectations. We're bombarded with messages about what success should look like, from the career we should pursue to the lifestyle we should lead. So I want to stop there for just two shakes and say, did you choose a friend because they drive Chevy Tahoe versus a Toyota Camry? It'd be kind of shallow, wouldn't it? So, for me, it really boils down to learning to say, "Okay, all of this, fancy stuff is cool, but it's not so cool when you can't do shit." Because I'm going to suggest to you that if you minimize some things in your life, which I've had to do, and you kind of use that, and but you're able to travel, you're able to go see things, you're able to actually You know, my son's very first basketball game I wanted to go see, and I couldn't because my boss put a box on my desk and said, you can fill that box and go see your son, or you can get your ass back to work. You decide. And it was dead serious. And I couldn't lose my job because you know why? Because I had a house payment, car payments, credit cards, and my kids to worry about, or my son to worry about. So my sister went and videoed it so I could at least see it. And right then I should have said, you know what, fuck this. But I didn't. So. And so to break free from these expectations, try the following. You know, recognizing that there's no one-size-fits-all definition of success. What works for someone else may not work for you, and that's okay. So, you know, success comes in so many forms. I would think one of the most successful people on this earth would be someone who has peace of mind. What would you say if you really just didn't have much to worry about? And you were happy. You weren't the richest person in the world. You didn't have all the money in the world. You lived modestly. You had a modest car. You had a wife or a husband who absolutely adored you. Kids who were excited when you come home. And you were present in the moment. And you had peace of mind. Is that success? More so than... if you kids didn't see you, they lived in a gigantic house. Your spouse spent your money like it was going out of style on crap that, you know, you go in the closet and go, how could you ever wear this many pairs of shoes? Sorry, girls, I'm just picking on you a minute. Or you go in your husband's closet and how many, you know, $300 ties does it take for you to live? Number two, surround yourself with people who support and encourage you to pursue your unique path rather than those who pressure you to conform to their expectations. So if you tell somebody in your life, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make a social media channel that does this, and they go, that's stupid, why would you do that? Well, that person, let me just say this, okay, just because they can't do it or they can't envision it doesn't mean that you can't. And I have said this in 100 stories, the people that are with you today may not be the same people that are with you tomorrow. So make sure that you're going to blow by people that have no vision. That old adage of if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Or the fact that people who are successful go, no shit, tell me. What are you doing? People who have success thrive on learning about success and thrive on celebrating someone's achievement. No shit. Well, tell me a little bit about that. Instead of saying, oh, that's just stupid. Why would you do that? Let's go to the bar. You know, let's go get a drink. No, you can go get a drink, but don't do it with that person. You know, remember always to practice self-compassion and remember that your worth is not tied to your external markers of success. Your level of success is not dictated by the mansion you live in. Sorry, it's not. Because I know people who live modestly that have way more success than some dude that's tied to a mansion that, you know, is just ridiculous anyway. I'm not saying that you can't live in a mansion. You can if you want, you know. But I know a whole lot more people with a whole lot more money that don't. So, you know, and it's like, if you get to a certain level and you want to drive a Rolls Royce, God bless. But I've driven a Rolls Royce many, 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 many times. And I can tell you one thing, it don't drive any better than a cheaper car. It doesn't buy any better than a BMW, doesn't drive any better than a Mercedes, doesn't drive any better than a Cadillac. It just, you know, it's definitely a status symbol. And if you drive up and if you're not speaking to the same level of success people that your Rolls-Royce suggests that you are, you're going to find a whole lot of people that aren't going to listen to shit ass nothing you have to say because they're saying, we can't afford this guy. Fuck, he drives a Rolls-Royce. He ain't going to talk to us. So you've lost all of, you could have had the most creative people in the world standing there, and then all of a sudden they feel intimidated because you're being a show off. You know, if you want to have that car, that's fine, but you don't let those markers of success value your worth. You know, I would rather show up in a t-shirt, jeans, and shoes and be relatable. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone to talk to people, and it's not that I dress down, it's just that I don't, you know, I don't go in a Brioni suit. It's just not called for. If I was winning an Oscar, I probably would wear a Brioni tux, but you know, I'm not going for that. So I don't allow success to be dictated by, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've worn an old MTV t-shirt to different business meetings and got the same deals as I would have if I would have gone in there in a, you know, suit. So, because I don't let those markers of success dictate who I am. You're valuable and worthy regardless of your achievements or status. And you need to remember that. You know, there is a time and a place for certain things. And, you know, just and I'm telling you right now, owning a Mercedes-Benz, which is a wonderful car, is not going to get you any more work than if you drove a Chevy truck. People, here's the thing about like sales. People buy from people they like, okay? It has to be about you. If you don't believe me, look at Sam Walton. Drove a shitty Ford truck most all his life. Even when he was making billions of dollars. So it's not the status symbol that makes you, it's you. So in order for you to get yourself in a position to even think about changing, these are things that I did that were life-changing, okay? Absolutely life-changing. So the next section was embracing mindfulness and living in the present. When we're caught up in the pursuit of an elusive ideal, we often lose sight of the present moment. By practicing mindfulness and living in the here and now, we can cultivate a greater sense of peace and joy and contentment. Some strategies for embracing mindfulness include my number one absolute bar none life-changing thing is meditation. Taking a few minutes each day to sit quietly Sorry about that. And focus on your breath can help you cultivate a greater sense of presence and awareness. And so what meditation has done for me is it has allowed me to clear the clutter out of my head. It has allowed me to be more calm in stressful situations. You know, if something unexpected comes up, or I miss on a deal, or I lose money on a project and it really came, you know, from a different perspective or different, I didn't see it coming, I guess is a better word phrase for that. I'm able to process it from a clear head, not a clear conscience, but a clear head. Because all the crap that flows around in your noodle, you know, you are able to let go of in meditation. You're able to. So what I do is I lay down on the bed. I get my phone. I get some headphones on. I get Glitzy, put her up beside me, because for whatever reason, she knows that when I am going to get in a certain way on the bed, she crawls under the covers next to me, you can really almost feel like we get in tune with our breath. I mean, it's kind of cool with the dog, you know, and she's always done that with me. So it's just kind of cool. So you take some cleansing breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth, deep cleansing breaths with exhales that, are big exhales, and do that, and that helps slow your body down, helps slow your heart rate down, get some oxygen flowing through your body, and then you just kind of regulate your breathing. You want to, you know, in through the nose, out through the mouth, just nice cleansing breaths. Not, you know, doesn't have to be anything fancy. And then I use different things. My most favorite thing to listen to that helps me get in a space where I can be present right there is a video that, obviously, the reason I say video is it's on YouTube, but it's music. It's not truly a video. But Dr. Wayne Dyer, most of you probably know who he is. If you don't, he's passed a few years back, and he was one of the greatest self-improvement authors of all time. He just was absolutely cool. And in his later years, he became incredibly spiritual. And if you don't know who he is, Dr. Wayne Dyer, go seek out this man and go seek out his books. They're amazing. So, and he wrote a lot. He's a prolific writer. Did some PBS shows that were just absolutely amazing. So if you have PBS as an app, or if you can go to YouTube and look up his PBS shows, I'm telling you, they're well worth, it will be time well spent. So anyway, he has this meditation called I Am, and it comes from the I Am from the Bible, where when Moses asked God what his name was, he said, I am that I am. And it's powerful. It has, there's that, that's a whole other podcast, and we may do that. But what you're listening to, it will get you in a state. Absolutely will get you in a cool state. You don't, you know, and this is something where don't make it complicated, just simple. You know, you don't need fancy pillows. You don't need to be in a yoga pose. You don't need to be in any of those things. Just lay down, sit down, find a comfortable place, you know, and close your eyes and let yourself go. And the reason that I use like ocean sounds, rain sounds, forest sounds, bird sounds, all of those things allow you to relax. You focus on those things. And then you'll be able to introduce into your practice, you'll be able to receive creativity and receive messages from your subconscious that allow you to make better decisions. You're able to, it's like praying about it, and you can do that in prayer, you know, and you just let it just happen. Let the moment happen. And I'm telling you, I've had amazing epiphanies. I've had moments of clarity. It's unbelievable. It's just absolutely unbelievable and life-changing. The other thing is just have gratitude. Regularly reflecting on things you're grateful for. And let's say your life is a total chaos shit show. I don't have anything to be grateful for. Shit, I'm, you know, about to lose everything, about to lose this, about to lose that, about to yada, 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 yada. So, I always go back to, in this sense, and say, you know, when I talk to groups and things, I always say, here's the skinny with all that. You kind of have to get down to, and most people say it as a joke, but it's really not, is, are you healthy? Are you up walking around? Are you healthy? Are you able to do your normal life? You don't have anything standing in the way. You're not in a wheelchair. You're not walking on crutches. You don't have prosthetic legs. You don't have challenges. You're a healthy human being. You don't have a cold. You don't have the flu. You don't have any impending cancer. You don't have anything. You're healthy. Because I can tell you right now, unequivocally, that when you have your health, you do truly have everything. You know, as you see in movies and things like that where people say, you know, God, life sucks. Well, you have your health, you know, and it's joke, but when you think about it, it's couldn't be any more true. Because I see people every day on social media or in life that are struggling, that have it way worse than I do. You know? I have a daughter who has prosthetic legs. I can't imagine and wouldn't presume to know what that is to her. She is incredibly happy and incredibly an incredible woman, has two children, has a husband that is arguably one of the coolest people that I've ever had the privilege to know. And you know, how many bitches do you want to make, you know, about how life sucks, you know? So you kind of go back and you have to look. Okay, well, do you have a car that runs and gets you to and from your job and to and from the grocery store and all that kind of thing? Okay, yeah, I'm grateful for that. Can you walk to get to that car? Do you need any special help? Do you need anything? Well, you can be grateful for that. You know? Do your children have food on the table? Do you have food on the table? Are you able, maybe not often, but are you able to go out and do things with your friends or family? Something to be grateful for. Do you have an air conditioner in your home? I have friends who live in Honduras that can't have an air conditioner. I've even offered to send them. You know, I said, let me just send you guys a couple window units. You know, I even went to DHL and worked it out and talked to them about what's the safest way to do all this. And you know, it was going to be expensive, but I didn't care. Because, you know, when I would talk to them, they were like, oh, dude, it's just miserably hot. Well, where they live is basically a jungle. The humidity is beyond anything you or I could imagine. Okay, and it is deathly hot. And what sucks is they live with a government who, to maintain control over the people, will often cut off the electricity, will often cut access to water off. And so I wanted to do something to help. And the reason that they can't have air conditioners is that bandits will come, and not only will they steal the air conditioners, they will kill the family so that they can't send the police after them. So these people can't have nice things like that. So if you have cold air, there are people who can't, not because it's not available to them, it's there's a horrible reason they can't have it. So you can find things to be grateful for. Do you have clothes that you wear? Do you have nice clothes? Do you have good shoes? Do you have water to drink? Then you have things to be grateful for. And when you live in that sense of gratitude, you know, it may not be everything that you want, but at least you're grateful for what you have. Are you in a relationship with someone that at the end of the day, you can say, you know what, I have my loving husband or I have my loving wife. And together we're enough. That is something to be hugely grateful for. Because there are folks that are in relationships that are toxic, abusive. And if yours isn't, and it's a beautiful thing, wow, what a gift from God to be grateful for. And then learning to savor the small moments. Take time to appreciate the simple pleasures in life. Whether it's a beautiful sunset, and I catch myself making myself, you know, all of a sudden I get out of the car and I'm moving, I'm doing things, and all of a sudden I kind of look over and there's just this orange in the sky for sunset, and I'm going, oh my God. And you take a moment. Then all of a sudden I'm trying to find a place where it's the view's unobstructed. Take a minute to listen to the birds, watch a sunset. Enjoy a delicious meal. I had a conversation with someone not long ago, and I shared this in a previous show, but I met a lady that owns a coffee shop, and she's down on the Texas Gulf Coast. And I walked in, and it was a cool place, and I had driven by it several times because it's down by a place where I go to, actually down towards an oyster boat dock, and so I go down and I take pictures of the oyster boats and I take pictures of the oystermen and their catch and all these kind of things. And it's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. And so I had seen her place and it was really kind of a cool place, you know, and I said, yeah, I got to stop in there one of these days. So I did. And it's a coffee and beer and wine bar, basically. So I went in, it was late in the afternoon, I said, you know what, sit down, have a beer. So I ordered a beer and sat down, and this lady and I were talking, and we had this most amazing moment. And it wasn't anything like where we were hitting on each other or anything like that. And we actually happened to both be single, but it never really came into view that. But we had the most special moment of just talking and really connecting to each other on a human level that was amazing. And I it's something I haven't forgotten. It's something that was just really, really special. And we just connected as two human beings and a couple times got teared up and, you know. And just we're both saying from a perspective, you know, I'm so glad you walked in the door. And I was like, you know, I'm so glad I came in today. And again, it wasn't some, you know, this is the woman I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. Wasn't that, it didn't feel like that. It just felt like we were two people who in that moment needed a moment and got it. So that was pretty damn cool. So savoring those small moments, taking time to appreciate very simple pleasures. A lot of times if I get to feeling screwed up, I drive down to the beach. Just listen to the waves, sit on the rocks. And it's in those little moments that you can find real clarity. So with all that comes, it's time to take action towards your chosen life. Once you've identified all this, once you've sat down, and you don't have to do it, it doesn't have to happen today. Get that shit out of your head. Everybody's like, move, 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 go, go, go. This is something that you'll get to a point where you can move, 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 go, go, go. But deciding what you want to do needs to come at a pace that makes sense to you. You know, you may have to make some difficult choices. You may have to get rid of some things that you thought you needed, but in this instance, maybe you don't. So, you know, then we have to decide, how am I going to make this a reality? So we want to set meaningful goals. Rather than setting goals based on external markers of success, focus on goals that align with your values and bring you a sense of fulfillment and purpose. So if you wanted to change something today, you know, and you know, make a goal that you're going to do something that aligns with the change you want to make. Get that feeling inside you of, wow, I love this. Because when the love and passion for that overtakes everything else, then mountains will move. Learn to cultivate supportive relationships. Surround yourself with people who encourage and support you in pursuing your chosen path. Seek out mentors, collaborators, and friends who share your values and vision. It's not all the time, but occasionally I will reach out to some people that I find interesting, or, you know, that I feel like, man, I would, you know, can I have one question, you know, that you'd want to ask? And a couple people that I wanted to collaborate with, and I am, and I'm incredibly excited. I mean, it just, you know, and those friendships are developing into lifelong friendships. And we're doing something that each of us enjoys to do. It's something that each of us is, we're collaborating on projects that we're passionate by, which is in and of itself amazing. You know, so, and like I said, some people in your life that are in your life today won't be in your life tomorrow. So start seeking out, you know, if this person, you know, if someone tells you, you say, hey, I want to do this. And they tell you, oh, that's stupid. Why would you do that? Then you need to say, cool, we, you know, and keep that friend at arm's length. Because if it's not somebody that's going to really be supportive and passionate by what you want to do, then an arm's length relationship is fine. You don't let them into your inner circle anymore. Because obviously they're not focused on anything but themselves and their shortcomings. So they need to go find their way. And a lot of times, you know, and you'll hear this with I'm not the first person to say this, is a lot of times you have to be careful sharing things with family, but for a different reason. Families are about safety and keeping you safe, especially moms and dads. We're going to say, oh, honey, come on. You know, let's say you want to write a novel. Well, why would you want to do that? Honey, you failed English, you know. Come on, let's, you know, and they're going to try to talk you out of something that they sense could hurt you in some shape, form, or fashion. So their heart's in the right place, their conversation's not, okay? It doesn't mean they're not still your mom, not still your dad, okay? So you may have to not share with friend or with some family until you've actually made something come together that they can say, you did this? No shit, I am so proud of you. Instead of coming from that protective, that mama bear mode, okay, go to mama bear when it's time to say, hey, I'm out of the den and I'm making it on my own. And here's what I'm doing, you know? So you have to learn to, and learn not to, you know, just because your mom says you can't do it doesn't mean you can't do it. Because here's the thing that where you have to become a become you is if you believe you can do it. So what if you failed English? You maybe you have a hard time, you know, with grammar, sentence structure, all that can be fixed, okay? But if you can tell a story, you know, if you can spin a story, spin a yarn that I'd want to listen to, you know, it doesn't matter where you come from, who you are. If your story's good, your story's good. Because if your story's really great, my first question is not going to be, well, oh my God, where were you educated? You know? I don't give a shit. I'm going to be sitting there celebrating the fact that you tell the story that just absolutely blew me away. Oh my God, when's it going to be a movie? You know? So learn to seek out people. And in the writing community, I'm telling you right now, it, like on Twitter, which is now X, if you hashtag writing community and you said ask questions, there's about, I can't tell you how many wonderful writers who will reach out and embrace you and say, oh my God, that sounds so cool. Or yeah, I'll read, you know, the first chapter of your book and give you some feedback. Or celebrate your publishing day or celebrate this or that. I'm going to do a thing about how to write a book and not have to worry about having a publishing house because you don't need one. If you get one, there's some pros and cons to it, but that's not today's show, okay? So there are ways for you to find mentors and help and support outside your circle of people now. And celebrate your progress. I can't, you know, this is going to sound, it's really not silly. There are times when I have celebrated, I go and look on a report or a status report on it, something and you know, and see something that maybe has slowed down or whatever, and there's 2 cents there. You can do that, especially on magazine articles and shit like that, where you put it out there and you made, you know, 75 cents or something. I get just as excited about that as if I saw $7,500 there. Because I'm grateful that even though it was very small, you know, it doesn't mean it's going to stay small, but it, you know, I get a 75 cent payout or something on something I did, and you know, next month it's a $600 payout, or it's a $100 payout, or you know, maybe it's a buck and a half payout. You know, not everything that you do is going to have some, you know, success. There's going to be some of your stuff, some of your work's going to take off and go, and some of it is, but those ones that maybe don't take off and go, that you still make a little bit of something, you know, I've learned to smile and go, you know, and look up and go, thanks God, thank you. Not because I'm pissed because it's 75 cents, but I'm happy because there was something there. Every step forward, no matter how small that step is or how minuscule that step is a step forward. You know, no, it's not going to pay anything. Won't even buy you a Coke. But it's still a positive response because it could very easily say 0.00, but it doesn't. And that's the point. So celebrate the smallest and the biggest of progress. You know, in doing this, you will find the courage that you need. If you don't have it today, that's why I say, if you don't have the courage today, or you don't think you have the courage to do this, and you don't have the resources, you don't really necessarily right now have the time, you know, still take all the equations that if nothing was standing in my way, not one little thing, what would you do? You know, there may be women out there going, I loved ballet as a child. I wish I could teach ballet. Okay. Start seeing what that looks like. Forget about everything. How the hell am I ever going to buy a studio? You may not need to. You may be able to do it from your home on Zoom calls and have women and young ladies from around the world come and you talk and interact with each other and you do it on a video Zoom call. Who knows? Who really knows what you could do until you actually go out and identify it? And make sure it's something that you really feel in your heart. You know, I look at successes on YouTube all the time. You know, I look at young women like Rosanna Pansino, who does a baking channel on YouTube, and I look and am watching how cute her shows are, and how amazing the things that she bakes look. I mean, I've seen things that she does for her sister's kids that, you know, birthday cakes and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, good Lord, man. I wish you were my aunt, you know. And not only that, but she's vivacious and funny and cute and just, you know, a good person. And here's the thing about that is when she started, she didn't have a follower. Now she has millions, but she didn't have a follower. So the how am I going to do anything, you know, you don't know until you try. That's my point. Now she has specials on HBO. I saw her, they did a thing with Lindsay Sterling, who I follow, and who's a violinist that's just, you know, she does the cutest stuff on stage. They're just, it's amazing, her dancers and her, and all the while she's, you know, playing her violin, and it's really, really, really cool. And they do funny stuff, and they always turn around and do, you know, TikTok things and stuff with the crowd, and it's just, it's fun. She's living, seemingly, she's living her best life. She took something that she loves to do, playing the violin, and turned it into something really amazing. So maybe you play a musical instrument. Maybe you bake. And here's the thing about, and I want to kind of start wrapping things up, but here's the thing about, like, if you're looking at something and go, oh my God, there's so much competition. Say you wanted to start a news channel, a magazine, you know, something that's a really crowded space. Well, guess what is missing from that space? You. Your uniqueness is missing from that space. If you have a unique way to present something, to show something, to film something, to photograph something, there's a bajillion photographers, and every person who has a smartphone in their hand is now a photographer or videographer or local news person. So, you know, it's that just is, you know, the way that it is that it's the uniqueness that you bring to a very crowded space. So don't let that stop you. Because, you know, if you want to be a great actor or whatever, you know, if you can't get an acting job, go to Hollywood. You can't get an acting job, and I wouldn't get an acting job in Hollywood right now anyway. But if you wanted to do something, then do some short films that highlight your talent and post it on Vimeo, YouTube, TikTok, Rumble. There's a bajillion places where people could see. Maybe you tell a story. Maybe you do a scene from a movie. People go, holy shit, man. Things that evoke someone's emotion, you know? That their comments are saying, I'm not crying, you're crying, you know? Because the depth of your... The depth of your performance was breathtaking. The eye of the photograph that you took is awe-inspiring. So yes, yes, you can do things that you want to do, not that you have to do. Be willingness to let go of all social expectations. By identifying values and priorities, embracing mindfulness, and taking action towards your chosen path, you can break free from the cycle of endless pursuit and cultivate a life that brings you joy, fulfillment, and a sense of purpose. Remember that this is a journey, not a destination, and that each step you take brings you closer to living the life you truly desire. And so remember that every day is not going to be a fun day. Every day is not going to be a joyous, you know, oh my God, I'm living my best life now. It's going to come in spurts, like everything in life. But that inner joy and inner peace that you feel in your heart and your mind, wow. Wow. That's where it's at. So, as always, thank you so much for listening to the show. We're going to end it there today. And here's the cool thing is if you follow the link in our bio, that takes you to where you can, to my Linktree page, which if you don't know what Linktree is, it's where you can actually put a safe link to all of your internet destinations, whether it's social media, it's to my Amazon author page, to my Amazon, and I love to say this, my Amazon influencer page, where I put out like the cool things, the cool gear that I use in my business or just stuff that I enjoy. It's a fun way to see some new gear, and like I have outdoor stuff and I love Patagonia and North Face and people like that, and I also have others on there that I enjoy doing. I also have all the camera gear that I use, the drones, underwater drones that I use, my main camera, my Nikons. And so anyhow, all of that stuff's there and fun. And if you are looking to change your life, not that you'll change it there on buying a Nikon camera, you could if that's what you want to do as a photographer. But you know, if you want to go see my books and all that kind of stuff, please, I encourage you to do that. The podcast show's there. And you know, thank you. I hope that you subscribe to our podcast. I appreciate it. Thank you to Spotify, who's not paying me to say this, but thank you to Spotify for hosting us. And we are available on Apple, Google, Spotify, and half a dozen other wonderful podcast places. So I hope that you'll give us a listen. We are working on a place for it to come to our website as well. It's just not there yet, but it is in the works to be done. And thank you for all of our subscribers, and thank you for those of you that subscribe to us financially or pay us a little monthly bonus on our page. Thank you so much. That means very, very much to me. So again, I appreciate it. And if you have any comments you want to make, there's a way for you to reach out on the show channel, and you can make comments, or if you have a show idea, or if you have a question about something you heard or want me to send you something that we have access to, I'll be happy to do so. So anyway, thanks again. And this is the Flight Risk Studios podcast show. And I am always your host, Robert Bruton. And I'll just say bye for now.